Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Morning, everyone. Great to be here this morning. I saw a new bub as I came in. That was pretty exciting. Wendy brought her granddaughter. Still back there. And daughter, I know. Okay. It's great to have a daughter here too. Sorry, Leah. But super exciting to see the granddaughter. That's exciting news. So welcome. What an awesome month. I love December. We've got our Christmas tree up and things are ready, and I'm looking forward to the 20th and having kids in here and just that feeling of life again. You know, they have a whole lot of fun next door. I mean, we have fun here too, but they, you know, it's just awesome just seeing them just enjoying unpacking the Bible and singing and games and the things that they do. It just this great way of just grabbing hold of the life that God can have for them. So, yes, looking forward to the 20th. But let's just pray now, and then we can get stuck into the Word. Lord God, thank you for this morning. Thank you that every time we meet with you, you can give us fresh hope. Fresh hope of what is possible and all that you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Romans 15 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Wow, we have a God of hope. That's what Romans, how Paul puts it in Romans. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace so that you may overflow with hope. You know, what a great scripture just to raise up in us just this sense of what is possible. Because so often we can look around and sometimes things do feel hopeless. You know, we've come through one of those years where we just go, oh, really? And, you know, each bit of news is, it's just heavy and hard. And, you know, today I want to cut through all of that. And I want to offer just some fresh hope that is in God, that is in Jesus, that can cut through and just take a new perspective on where things are at for you. We can accept things the way they are. You know, we can just sit back and go, well, this is my lot. This is the way it is. This is the way the world is happening, and that's just it. And, you know, we can do that. Or we can actually want something to be the case. We can want something different. We can want something to happen. You know, that's what hope is. It's this feeling of expectation. It's a desire for something particular happen. That's the way the dictionary puts it. You know, this desire, this feeling, this absolute wanting for something to happen. And that's pretty cool in itself. Like, that can get us some distance. But from the Bible, we can actually learn that hope from God is a confident expectation of what God has promised. And its strength, the strength of this hope, is actually in his faithfulness. So hope doesn't have to just rest in our own head and in our own wants, but actually it can rest in God. It's a confident expectation of what God has promised. And the whole strength of the hope, a godly hope, is actually in his faithfulness to deliver. So this morning, you know, if you've come in here or if you've just had a year that's just a little disillusioned or disheartened by things, I just really want to encourage you to look up again. You know, just take another glance up at God, because we really do worship the God of hope. And I really do believe that as we grab hold of who he is, that it can transform our world. So Christmas. My kids will know that I do like Christmas. I do like to put on the carols, and I have been known to sneak them on in November, as the shops do. Actually, sometimes they make it to October, don't they? Anyway, you know, there is this expectation that we have building up as we, you know, leading up into Christmas, that 1st of December and the Advent calendar can come out. And if you've got kids or have had kids in the past or have been a kid yourself actually, you know, you might have woken up waiting to open the next little door of the Advent calendar. We have a really fun one in that every time you open a little door, it's got a piece of the nativity scene. And so we've had 3 stars so far. They were pretty boring days. they weren't even the star yet. We haven't got to that. And then we got Mary and then Joseph, so it's starting to look like something. When I was a kid, our Advent calendar wasn't quite so exciting. We had a cardboard one, and all you got to do was open the door and find, I don't know even what was behind it. It was just you open this door. I can't even remember. That's terrible. But it was still exciting. Like, even though it was this funny little cardboard thing and you just open the little cardboard flap, there was this sense of, something's happening. We're getting one door closer to Christmas, you know. And then we've got the Christmas tree going up. We've got, you know, the fruit soaking for the fruit cake, and just the smells of gingerbread, and in amongst it all, little secrets and surprises might be happening, or hopes of secrets written on the fridge, the list of this person and that person. And you know, there's just this layer upon layer over what's happening. Something's going to happen. And sometimes we can look at that and we can go, oh, it's just all commercialism. You know, we've just built this all up because the shops just want us to buy stuff and it's all just about commercialism. But I just question that. Is it really? Like, is it really just... have we all just been sucked into commercialism? Does it have that much power over us? Or is it something bigger going on? Because when I look across the whole of history, I think that God had, you know, something going on too, this build-up for Christmas, this expectation, this preparing for the first Christmas. See, we might complain about carols in November, but actually, God started long before November. He was kind of thousands of years before that he was starting to get ready. Long before he had even spoken light into being, God was preparing for Christmas. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 to 6, I'm going to read from the Message version because it's just this beautiful way that it's written, so to listen. It says, long before he laid down the earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family, through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Doesn't that sound like Christmas? Doesn't that sound like God's got something ready? Like long before he laid down the earth's foundations, He's just brewing something. He's getting ready for his lavish gift giving, that he wanted us to enter into that celebration, to be made whole, holy and whole by his love. That's Jesus. I think November's too late. We should start earlier. You know, long before it was even seen, God caused a star to be born so that just at the right time over Bethlehem, it would shine. Now, that takes a bit of planning. You can't do that, you know, at the last minute, night before wrapping up. Long before, into the hearts of people and the minds of them, all through the Old Testament, scattered about, like he began to drop these little bits of fresh hope, expectation of what the surprise was going to be, what the present might they might find under the tree. You know, we've just done a month of looking at the Old Testament. And it's left us, it really has left us with an ache for something more. But the ache is not just because it just all seemed to go so bad. The ache is because all through there was these little hints of what was going to come. And so we're going, can we just open it? Like, can we just get there? And in across that whole, you know, Old Testament, we're just going, I just want to get to that point. And that must have been what it felt like a little bit, as those little hints were being revealed, dotted out through history. You know, starting off with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, when he heard God say to him, "And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." All peoples? How? Like, what's that? Through me? Like, I want that now. Like, look at our world, God. Like, how? But eventually, you know, we go down and all people on earth have been blessed through Jesus, his ancestor. And then, you know, to David, God dropped this little hint. And he said, "When your days are over," in 2 Samuel 7, "and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build up a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." And yes, Solomon built a temple, but he hasn't got and a kingdom established forever. God was talking about something more, about something different. He was actually talking about a temple that was much more alive than anything and much more glorious than anything Solomon could build. And so we go down the years and we find that a king was heralded by angels, not an earthly king. No earthly king could deserve that, but God's own son declared, arrived by angels. To Isaiah, you know, God dropped this little hint. He said in Isaiah 7, he said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." And of all the ridiculous things that could ever happen, that's exactly what happened. Just as God said, a baby was born to Mary. I mean, amazing. And to Micah, he gave this little hint of where this king would be born. Not in Jerusalem, the capital, the place where, you know, it all should happen. But he says in chapter 5, "But you, Bethlehem, Though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are of old, from ancient times." That's not any old king. A king that goes back to ancient times. A king whose name would be Ancient of Days. And so we see God's son born in Bethlehem. Just a little town in a stable, but just as he hinted long ago. And then to Hosea, you know, he gave this random bit of information about what's going to happen in chapter 11. "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." And we see Mary and Joseph travel to Egypt to escape to Herod and then come back into the land of Israel, to Nazareth. To Isaiah again, he let him know when all was going to just start winding up and getting ready and just wanting the people to get ready. And so he said in chapter 40, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway of our God." And that's what happened. You know, John the Baptist came and he's proclaiming, he's here, the one that God's talked about, the one that he'd promised, that little gift that's been hinted out through all our history is here. And you know, the Old Testament is so full of these little dots of hope, fresh hope, sprinkled, just dropped in when everything seemed out of control, everything seemed hopeless. God would just come in and just speak through someone and speak to someone and go, just to remind you, it's coming. It's here. It's going to come. Don't worry. Just let that drop in and give you hope. And they didn't just, you know, talk about when, where he was going to be born, but what he was going to do, what he was going to be like. You know, healing the blind, speaking the good news to the poor and proclaiming freedom for people. Fresh hope that the world was not going to be abandoned. But fresh hope that God really does love us. And that all along he was preparing for the best Christmas ever. But that was all hope given in the Old Testament. And we can go, okay, well, they needed that hope. It was a mess and Jesus hadn't come and they needed hope for something. And so that's all great. But can we actually have hope looking back to something that's already happened? Like, is that hope? Because we're kind of reflecting on their hope. And they lived forward, looking towards something. What's hope for us? Because the Bible is relevant still today. And Paul was writing in the New Testament, in the time after Jesus, but he's still calling God a God of hope. So what is that hope and what does it speak to us today? Because those things are not just for the past, they're for today now. And Paul said this to the Colossians, and I believe that he speaks it to us too. Paul said, "I have become its servant by the commission of God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery, the secret, that has been kept hidden for ages and generations." You know, that little secret that's dotted through the Old Testament that they didn't quite get, they didn't understand, that was still wrapped up under the tree. But it's now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the hope now. That's the hope that we have today. It's not the hope in what is to come, that Jesus one day will be born, that one day there will be a Messiah, that something's going to happen. But no, the hope that we have today is Christ in us and the hope of glory. But that's kind of a weird way of putting it. There's a Bible translator called J.B. Phillips, and he kind of explained it in this way. This is the way he put it. He said, Christ in you, bringing with him. So Christ coming into you and bringing with him the hope of all glorious things to come. So not just saying, oh, there's something coming. In the future, something's going to happen for you. In the future, this might be good. But no, Jesus actually coming into you and bringing with him the hope of all the glorious things to come. It's Jesus' presence living in us. It's his spirit living in us. It's the fulfillment of God's promises. All those things he'd put throughout the Bible. All those promises to restore us and change us. It's all of that coming out in hope of its fulfillment, of faith it will be fulfilled, in knowing it will be fulfilled, but also seeing it fulfilled in us. A living hope, one that just keeps increasing, one that keeps growing, one that doesn't stop, one that doesn't have that was in the past, but one that keeps looking to the future. And just as, we understood hope at the beginning before, hope that is confident, expectant, joyful knowledge that we are being changed by God, renewed by him. It's hope that confident expectation of what God has promised, and its strength is in his faithfulness. It's no longer a hope that's in our head. It's no longer something that we've kind of whipped up for ourselves, but a hope that's actually implanted in us by Jesus. Because, I really believe that God wants to impact our world every day. That it's not just a situation where he's gone, Jesus is here, accept him, get saved, and then, right, that's sorted. That's a little dull, I reckon. I really believe that God wants to touch every single day that we have, not just that first day when we meet him, but every single day thereafter. Every single day, bring up that sense of hope of what is possible and infusing it into every single part of our life. Like it might be your job. It might be this sense of, I can't find a job, or I can't stand my job, or what's happening with my job. It could be your health. It could be the timing of things. Everything's just got to line up and I don't know how it's going to happen. It could be family, marriage, kids. There's so many different aspects of our world that we really, really want God to impact. And we can make up ideas and we can put our own hope into those things. But how much more powerful if we let God's hope be infused in that and come out of those things. And how he does this is by transforming the way we think, the way we act, even the way we speak. It's through those things that we enable God's power to actually be activated, to actually get legs and walk and to go somewhere. And it's in that space that we actually enable him to kind of flick a switch in our mind and start living a different way and speaking a different way. And so in Jesus, we have this hope that starts growing out, you know, up from inside of us, that he's planted in there. And what it brings an expectation of blessing, not just a wish that, oh, I really like that to happen, but no, an expectation, because that hope is founded on his promises and his faithfulness to bring them to pass. We become aware and looking around for what God is doing and where his hand is touching our world. And so we don't just go, oh, that was a coincidence. When something happens, we go, oh my goodness, thank you, God. Thank you for your hand in my world. You know, we begin again believing that healing really is possible. That even though it may not have happened yet, that something gets planted back inside of us and we go, no, it is possible. Miracles do happen. The impossible can be made possible because of Jesus. It's faith that circumstances can turn around unexpectedly, unexplained, but possible. Like it's starting to speak thanks for the things that are to come. You know, with my kids, they hate it, but I might ask them to do a job. Like, you know, can you go and get the washing in, please? Thanks for doing that. And then they'll kind of look at me, Mom, I haven't actually done it yet. Why do you say thanks? Like it frustrates them. But, you know, I say to them, I say thanks because I know you're going to do it. They hate that even more because then they have to do it. But it's not so much that. Like it's not just a way of making them go and do it. It is actually the fact that I know them. I know that they appreciate being part of the family. I know that they see that, you know, life gets busy and that just doing that, it helps me. And I know that they actually deep down, even though they might grumble, that they are okay with helping me. And so I do have this, you know, the belief that when I ask that they will actually do it. And I guess it's, you know, that's a funny story on what it is like with God. Like we can actually say thank you really to him before something happens, because we know him. We know what his promises are. We know that he really does desire healing in our world. We know that he really does desire blessing. We know that those things are in his word and that he is faithful to those things. And when we start speaking out those words of thanks, we're actually believing in his power to make them happen. We're believing in his faithfulness to bring it to pass. And so, therefore, our hope doesn't, it's not just this, we're not just giving a vain wish that we've made up in our head. We're flicking it into, just resting it on the foundation of who God is and his promises and his strength and his faithfulness. And Christmas is a thing that's made all that possible. Christmas is a thing that has enabled that fresh hope to rise up inside of us. Because of all that, those things scattered throughout the Old Testament, they're all pointing to Jesus. They're pointing to God's Messiah, his Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, all those words that we hear at Christmas. Pointing to him and what he was about to do. It's pointing to his sacrifice for us on the cross, him taking the consequences of all this mess that we made, grabbing hold of that and then giving back to us life and salvation and hope. It's making it possible for us to receive God's forgiveness. And when we believe in Jesus and we put our trust in him, that fresh hope can come in to us. And no longer do we have to just kind of vainly wish for things to happen, but actually start seeing what God has planted inside of us and letting that rise up. You know, I'm just going to ask Jeff to come up. It's letting Jesus bring with him the hope of all the glorious things to come. And just today as we finish, I just want to actually ask you to close your eyes and just sit there and think about your world. Because we all have had things in our world. We've all had hopes and wishes and dreams and things like that. And some of them have happened and some of them, you know, have shriveled up. And sometimes we might feel a bit burnt by those things. But this morning I just want to encourage you just to go again. To just receive that fresh hope. Not a hope that has come out of your own head, but a hope that's been deposited by Jesus. A hope that's based on him. A hope that is all the glorious things that he can do. You see, as you sit there and just think, just start to ask, you know, just talk to him and think over those different things in your world and just get his take on it and ask him to just rise up in you what his hopes for you are. Let him just kind of speak those things. And you might be surprised. Some of those things that in the past you've hoped for and you feel like you got a bit burnt over, they might start to rise up again. Not in your own self, but in him. Listen to that and get confidence from that, that he will bring that to pass, and let that hope rise again in you. Or it may be that there's things that actually don't, and you've had a wish in the past and a hope, but God says, no, that's not my hope for you. That's not the hope where I'm leading you. That's okay. Might explain why it hasn't happened. It's okay to leave it there. But then let his things rise up. Let his hopes for you, because his hopes are glorious for you. His hopes to give you a future, you know. These are the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, as to prosper you. Give you a hope and a future. Like, they're the things that God has for you. That's what he says. Let him speak them into your world through Jesus. Let them rise up. And then just start speaking them into being. As you walk out of here today, start thanking him for them. You know, say, thank you, God, that you said to me this morning you would touch that area of my world. Thank you that you said that you would find a job. Thank you that you said that I can turn this circumstance around. Thank you that you said that there is healing for me. Thank you. Thank you. Speak them into your world and keep speaking them. Not on your own vain hopes, but on the hopes of what Jesus is doing in you, on the hopes of his power, of his strength, of his glory, his promises, and his faithfulness to bring them to pass. That this morning you might also just be sitting here and thinking, well, I don't have that relationship where I can actually talk to Jesus. I don't know how that happens. Well, it's really simple. You just ask him. You just acknowledge him as God's son and acknowledge that he is the one that has paid the consequence for that disconnect of you and God. He's made that way possible. And you just ask him to come into your world and into your life and ask him to come into your heart. And we just do that by a prayer. And I just want to pray that together now, because, you know, even if you have asked Jesus into your world, even if you have prayed to him before, there's always that place to get fresh hope and fresh life into us. And if you're praying this online, I just really encourage you to let us know, to touch base with us so that we can support you, we can encourage you. And this morning, if you pray, come and see me afterwards or speak to someone. Just say, I prayed that. I want to connect with Jesus. I want that fresh hope in my world. Let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to come into my life. I ask to be born again. Forgive me for my sin and make me clean. Make me your child. Help me to follow you. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, for the fresh hope that you can deposit into my world. Amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.